Bethel. Glad to be here. Glad to be back. Man, I owe a big thanks to Cody for allowing me to come over here. Thank you, Cole. That's cool. High tech. I like it. For coming over here and hanging out with you guys. Man, it's been a while since I've been back. It's been good. We've been over at Stanford just hanging out and enjoying life. And, man, church has been really good over there. So this morning, man, I hope you're as fired up about the series that we're in, about no excuses. Man, that resonates with me. I don't know if it does with you, but it resonates with me because why? Because I can find an excuse for anything, Man, I've got a bucket full of excuses of why not, should have, could have, would have, you know, all that stuff. Man, excuses though, but I've got, what's cool about this whole series is I've got a bunch of friends of mine that text me in the morning and they'll tell me, they'll say, hey, Riley, it's going to be a good day. And then ... no excuses. Man, that's good for me to hear because how many of you know when we get out into the workplace on a Monday morning, sometimes we can start getting excuses. Sometimes our people show up with excuses. Sometimes they don't show up because of an excuse, amen? I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the way it is. So here's the deal this morning. You know, if we look at it, and I know Cody's told you about this, but if you look at it and you really think about it, in the beginning, God, I mean, he set this thing up for you and I to live a life here on this earth, to live a life here in this world, to live a life here in Jones County or Abilene or Stanford or wherever it is that you come from. Hamlin, I don't care. He's made a life and he's built a life and he did this without to set it up for you to live without excuses, man, to live without excuses. Man, in the beginning, we'll just start at Genesis and we'll go to the end of the Bible real quick today. No big deal. We got time. But I talk fast. It's all right. But really, in the beginning, man, God set it up. He set it up. He designed everything. He made everything. He spoke things into existence. And then guess what? He set you and I here. He built us up out of the miry clay. He breathed the breath of life into you and I. He put it in our lungs. His DNA is running through us. Man, he set everything up. And then he said, you know what? Go live. Go live, go live, and go be just joyful. Go live out and go enjoy life. Go live in the garden. Go produce. Man, and guess what? You'll have no excuses. Why? Because he created everything for you and I to live on this earth without excuse. And then guess what? Of course, you know, we fouled it up. We know the story. We fouled it up, messed it up. No way out. We're going down the wrong path. You know, it's just the way life does. But guess what? God sent his son, Jesus Christ. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, as one last sacrifice, as the sacrifice of all sacrifices to say, you know what? You can go live without excuse. You have no excuse. Why? Because I sent my son to die on a cross for you, to shed his blood on the cross for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. It doesn't matter what you did wrong. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter all the things that you've done. It doesn't even matter all the excuses you've made. You have no excuse because my son died for you. His blood shed on the cross for you. It ran down that cross and it covered your sin, whatever that might be. They shoved him in a grave and guess what? He kicked the grave in the butt. He come up out of the grave and he's living life right now. And he's living in you and I through the Holy Spirit. And we have no excuse to accept that. Man, you have no excuse not to live an abundant life and then live a joyful life because of Jesus. Man, because of Jesus. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, says, and this is kind of where I'm going to hang my hat, so think about this in your life. It says, for I know the plans I have for you. You know this. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Man, declares the Lord. God said, he declared it. He said, I know the plans I have for you. He said, I know them. I know the plans I have for you. He declared it. But guess what he didn't say? He didn't say, you know the plans. He didn't say you got it figured out. He didn't say that he was going to reveal the plan to you all at once. No, he said, I know the plans I have for you. And then he says, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you excuse not to have a hope and not to look toward the future with that hope and that certainty that we have in Jesus Christ. God declared that plan over your life. He didn't say you were going to know the plan, but he said, I know them. I know the plans I have for you. See, God has plans for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. Man, God has plans for you. I know you have plans for you. I know you're all thinking that you have plans. But guess what? God has sovereign plans over your life. He designed you. He set you here without an excuse, man. Man, here's the deal. God wants to prosper you, and he doesn't want to harm you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to prosper you in your marriage. He wants to prosper you in your life. He wants to prosper your kids. He wants to prosper your church. He wants to prosper your checkbook. Yeah, yeah, I know. This isn't where everybody's going to get rich sermon. But here's the deal. He wants to prosper you wherever it is. Man, sometimes it might not be here and it might not be there, but he has prospered you this morning just by simply giving you the opportunity to show up and sit here amongst all these fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, he has plans for you, and he wants to prosper you, and he does not want to harm you. He doesn't want to harm you. Man, he doesn't want anything bad to come on you, but we do live in a fallen world. But he doesn't want to harm you. He doesn't want you walking around in fear. He doesn't want you walking around scared. He wants to prosper you, and he doesn't want to harm you. He has a future for you, and you should be hopeful for that future. Man, he's going to give you hope. Hope when you're in the pit, just like Joseph was. When Joseph's family threw him in that cistern, well, man, he's going to give you hope. He's going to give you hope in everything you go through in life. He's going to give you hope when it doesn't rain for 30 days, when it doesn't rain for 60 days. He's going to give you hope. He's going to give you hope when the disease comes on you. He's going to give you hope when something happens to you and your finances go to pot. He wants to give you hope because he has a future for you, and because of that, he has plans for you. Man, I think you need to absorb that this morning. Somebody shout hope. Man, he wants to give you that kind of hope that allows you to see your future in victory. He wants to give you that kind of hope that allows you to see your future in victory. Man, in victory. When you look out ahead of you, what do you see? Man, you should see victory. Why? Because he has those plans set up for you. See, some of you will never see the victory and never feel the hope in your life until you quit making excuses to follow God's plans for you. Let me repeat that. Some of you are never going to feel the hope, and some of you are never going to see the victory until you quit making excuses to join God and his plans for you. That's just the way it is, man. I'm telling you that it's set out there for you. It's set out there. It's set there for you. He's declared it over your life. But, man, you've got to quit making excuses to accept that promise. You've got to quit making excuses. See, following God's plans. Man, I really believe this is the key. This is the key to life. For many Christians. Man, I believe that once we as Christians pick up on this, that this is the key to it. Being a child of God is just not this. I do believe this, that if you declare with your heart and profess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are saved, man. You are saved. You have an eternal destination. It doesn't matter what goes on. It doesn't matter what you do. You are saved. Your salvation is secure. But guess what? You're never going to see the hope, and you're never going to see the plans, and you're never going to vision the victory that's in your future by just sitting there and declaring Jesus, but you're going to have to learn to follow Christ. Man, I believe that's where it is. Man, we're called to follow Jesus and not just proclaim him. I know proclaiming him's great. I know there's a world full of people that are proclaiming Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But as they're proclaiming Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there are things falling down and falling apart around them because they're not stepping into God's plans for their life. That's just the way it is. See, being a child of God is just not a proclamation. See, because, why is this? Because the defeat you suffered yesterday, whatever that looks like, the defeat you suffered yesterday has become your excuse today. Because your defeat that you suffered yesterday, because of all the things you went through yesterday, because you're using that as your excuse today, you're not living in that hope, and you're not seeing the victory, and you're not walking in the plans God has for you, because you're stuck looking at what you got your butt handed to you yesterday doing. And you're bringing it to today, and you're not seeing the future. I'm just saying, man, there's someone that has come to church with this mindset today. This mindset, the sad part is, no matter how much I preach on the hope of Jesus today, there is a chance. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there is a chance you can leave here without hearing anything because you're stuck on the excuses of yesterday. Because you're stuck on focusing on the excuses of yesterday. Can't, never could, won't, never will. That's just the way it is. Man, if you have that mindset that you can't, guess what? You're not going to. If you have that, by gosh, I'm just not going to, man, you're not going to. That's just the way it is. Can't, never could, won't, never will. Man, here's the deal. Jesus already has, and he has done this for your future and for your hope in that future. God has a plan, and God has a plan for you. See, I want to go to Judges 6 today. If you have your Bibles, that's where we're headed. I want to talk to you a story in the Bible that speaks just to where I believe I've been, and I believe maybe this is where some of us are. It's a story about Gideon. See, God had a plan for Gideon, and guess what? Just like you and I, Gideon tried to make an excuse as to why it was that he really didn't fit in God's plan. Do you get this? Gideon, he was one of these guys that God had a plan for. He had a purpose for. But Gideon, he didn't step into that plan for a long time. Why? Because he was making excuses. See, I believe that's where some of us are at. See, Gideon even tried to explain to his creator that he wasn't the guy for the job. Can you imagine that? It's not very smart. The God that picked you up out of the miry clay, that breathed the breath of life into you, that set you in the garden with purpose and with a plan, and you're sitting here trying to explain to God that you're right. See, Gideon, that's not very smart. If you have your Bibles, turn to Judges 6:11. Said, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under an oak at Orpah that belonged to Joash an Abzarite, where the son of Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Where is the wine press? I want to hold on for a second. Back in these days, Gideon, I want you to get this picture in your mind. Gideon was in a wine press. A wine press was a hole in the ground, and Gideon was down in the bottom, hiding in a hole, threshing wheat. He was simply hiding from fear because the Midianites had come and they had wiped out all the crops. They had taken all the livestock. They had ravaged everything in that country. And guess what Gideon was doing? He was hiding in fear, down in a hole, threshing wheat, just trying to survive. Man, like many of us, he's just hiding in a hole, trying to survive. See, here's where it goes. It says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Man, here it is, a man hiding in a hole trying to survive, and the Lord appears, and he looks down there, and he said, man, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He calls him mighty warrior. And Gideon says, pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Man, when we hear that, when we hear a word, when we hear somebody give us a word and we start believing that we're a mighty warrior for the Lord, then we start thinking about, well, if we're a mighty warrior and if the Lord is really with us, then we start thinking about, well, why has all this happened to us? Man, we can see this all the time. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Man, he's sitting there and he's making excuses. The Lord God called him. He came to him when he was in his low spot of his life, just trying to survive. And God said, you're a mighty warrior. And what did Gideon's first response was? He was making excuses. But if the Lord is with us, man, if the Lord is really with me and if the Lord is really with us, then why has all this stuff happened to us? Have you ever done that in your life? Have you ever said, you know what, man, I've been doing everything right. I've been living right. I've been doing right. I've been praying. I've been reading my Bible. I've been doing all these things. And then something bad comes on you, and the first thing you think of is, man, if the Lord is really with me, why is this stuff happening to me? Why is it? The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? Man, go. Go in the strength you have. He tells him, pardon me, my Lord. Here he goes again. Gideon replied, but how? But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest. And to go in the strength that he has. He didn't tell Gideon to go look for all these things, build them up, get some weapons, all this kind of stuff, and then go. He said, no, you go where you're at. Man, God has called you and I. He has spoke that word over you and I. He said, you are a mighty warrior. It doesn't matter if you're in the pit. It doesn't matter if you're down in that hole trying to survive. But he's called you a mighty warrior. And he hadn't said, go find something that's powerful. No, he said, go in the strength that you have right now. Can I tell you, God is calling you to quit making excuses and start going and doing his work and going to the battle, taking the fight to the enemy in the strength you have. In the strength you have. And then what does the Lord say? He says, am I not with you? Am I not sending you? And here's Gideon again. It sounds just like my story. Pardon me, Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest. My clan, I'm the least in my family. The Lord answered him. He said, here, I will be with you. Man, he tells him again, I will be with you. Man, I can remember time and time again in my life when I had a calling to get up here and start preaching the word, when I had a calling to go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And I knew God was speaking to me, and I knew he was speaking to me, and I knew he was calling me a mighty warrior, but I didn't believe him. Why? Because I was looking up at him from the hole that I'd put myself in. Just trying to survive, just trying to do it my way, just trying to stay away from the enemy. And here he was calling me a mighty warrior. Here he was calling me to go in my strength, and I didn't understand it. And then what did I do? I said, well, man, I can't go, God. I can't go. I'm just an old country boy raised up out there on the old river. Man, my family, they knew how to make moonshine and party hard and do this and do that. Man, I don't know that kind of stuff. I just know how to ride a horse and hang out on the river, shoot a gun. I don't know how to do any of that. I'm just an old hillbilly. Thank you, Lord. Man, I was trying to find some strength somewhere. And then here it is again. The Lord answered me just like he did Gideon. He said, I will be with you. I will strike down the Midianites, not leaving any of them alive. And Gideon replied, here's just like I did. This is exactly what I did. If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign. How many of us have missed out and haven't stepped into God's plan in our life because, number one, we're making excuses, and then after we get tired of all the excuses, we're like, okay, God, if you're really with me, give me a sign. Man, I've said this in my life 2 or 3 times. Give me a sign. Give me a sign, God. Just give me a sign. If you'll just give me a sign, I'll understand. If now I've found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. God to give him a sign, and then he sees this sign, and he's like, crud, man, I've missed out on all this. And then he's fearful. But then what does God say? He says, peace, man, I want you to go live in peace. I don't want you to be fearful. Do not be afraid. You're not going to die. See, I don't care what it is that you're thinking about your old sin, whatever it is that's holding you back. You're like, I'm not good enough. Man, you don't even know what I've done in my past. You don't even know where I came from. You don't even know I'm not going to die. You know why? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, on and put him, and allowed him to be on the cross for you to cover your sins. And guess what he said? You're not going to die. Why? Because my son, he took your sin. He took your sin. He made the sacrifice so that you don't have to. You don't have to. See, after all of Gideon's excuses, after all the doubt, and after all the testing, God still had a plan and a purpose for Gideon's life. God did for Gideon what he's wanting to do for some of you here today. He's wanting you to have peace with you. And he's wanting to tell you, wait until I will wait until you return. Man, there's a lot of us out here this morning that haven't stepped into God's plan. Because why? Because we're making excuses and because we're still looking for that sign. But guess what? God's still waiting for you. He's still waiting for you. It doesn't matter how long. It doesn't matter how long it takes for you to return. God's still going to wait for you. 2 Peter 3:9 said, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." You know what? Whether you choose to receive this word today, whether you choose to receive this word 20 years from now, or whether you choose to receive this word with your last breath, God's still waiting for you. God's still waiting for you. He still has a plan for you, and he still has a purpose for you. Man, he does. He still has a plan for you, and he still has a purpose for you. Man, you can't make excuses that are bigger than God's plans for you. You just can't. Your doubt will never outdo God's promises. Man, your procrastination will never outlast God's patience, and your testing will never outdo God's love for you. Man, I'm telling you, God has love for you, and he has enough love for you that he sent his son so that you can live in peace and that you will not have fear of death. Man, here's the deal. No matter how deep the hole you're trying to hide in from your enemies, no matter how fearful you are, no matter how much you have been trying to survive doing it with your plan, God still has a plan for you. God has told you like he did Gideon, peace. Man, do not worry. Just enjoy it. Man, just come into my plan. There is one thing that Gideon did, though, that got him to where he is now, to where he became that mighty warrior. Gideon had to do one thing. That one thing that Gideon did is the same thing that you and I have to do. What is that one thing? We have to quit making excuses for not stepping into God's plan. Man, we have to quit making excuses for not stepping into God's plan. Quit making excuses that God can't use you. Quit making excuses because of where you came from. Quit making excuses that tells you that you're believing that you're less than. Man, we've got to quit making excuses because here's the deal. God wants to use you and he has a plan for you. The same hope, the same plan, and the same future is still there for you no matter what you're doing today. God, John 14:27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace," Jesus says, "my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let them not be afraid." Man, quit being afraid and allow God to use you. Quit being afraid to step into God's plans. See, nothing can defeat you when you're with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Man, the victory is not done because you and I. The victory was done because of what Christ did for you and I. Man, 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Guess what it is? It's our faith. Man, it's our faith. When we quit making excuses to not follow Christ, when we quit making excuses because he hasn't given us this perfect sign, when we quit making excuses and we just start walking this thing out in faith, man, then guess what? We're going to be like Gideon. We're going to change the battle. Psalms 144:1 says this, "Praise be to the Lord my rock who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." Man, I'm telling you, praise be to God. See, God has a plan for you, and he's wanting you to join in that plan. And the only reason that you haven't joined in is because you're still making excuses of where it is you came from or why it is you can't do it. Man, he's wanting you to join in this fight. He's wanting you to join in the battle. Man, I'm telling you, Gideon's story is amazing. Gideon's story goes on. That was just the first part of how the Lord came to Gideon and asked him to join in his plan. That's just the first part of the story. Man, go read the rest of it. What happens at the end? Gideon finally quits making excuses. He finally quits testing God. He steps into God's plan, and guess what? The nation was changed. The nation was changed. Gideon's future story affected the battle because he quit making excuses to engage in God's plan. His future story affected the battle because he quit making excuses. Man, if you want to affect the battle, then you're going to have to quit making excuses. Man, Gideon saved a whole entire nation. Man, he saved the whole entire nation. Why? Because he quit making excuses. He saved the whole nation because he quit making excuses. What about you? Man, do you look around and do you see things going south in this nation? Do you see things that you wish would change? What if you would quit making excuses like Gideon? What if you would step in and understand that God has a plan, he has a purpose for you, that you should have a hope in your future because of what God did through his son Jesus Christ on the cross? Because of all of that, because of all of that love, and because of his blood that washed away your sin, you now have a hope and a future, and you don't have to worry about what the world's throwing at you. Man, he's wanting you to step into his plan. Man, Gideon quit making excuses, and a nation was changed. Man, I believe our nation needs to be changed. I believe it's because we're not following Christ, but we're just proclaiming. Man, we're making excuses. Man, we love to proclaim Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we like to make all kinds of excuses as why we can't follow him, why we can't be that mighty warrior that he's called us to be. Man, he's looking at you. He's looking at you right now, whatever that hole is in your life, wherever it is you're trying to survive, and he's saying, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Man, go in the strength you have. Don't be sitting there trying to be something else. Don't be sitting there trying to wish you had this or wish you had that. Quit making excuses for what you don't have and go in the strength that you have. Man, God has designed you with a plan and a purpose, and he's wanting you to step in that. Worship team, will you guys help me close this out, please? See, your future story will have a positive effect on the battle when you simply decide to quit making excuses, to step in to who it is God created you to be, and step into the plans that he's designed you to walk out. Man, the battle will be changed. See, because of Gideon, a nation was saved. Because of Gideon, a nation was saved. When I say Gideon, I want you to think about your name when I say that. And in your head, you just call out your name. You can call it out loud, I don't care. But because of Gideon, a nation was changed. Because of Gideon, a nation was changed. What if God is wanting you? What if God is waiting on you? What if, because of your excuses, that you haven't stepped into those plans, that this nation hasn't changed? What if, because of you not stepping in to God's plans for your life, that your family dynamic has not changed? What if, because of you not getting called out of that pit and being that mighty warrior that God's called you to be, what if, because of your excuses, you haven't stepped into God's plan? What if your life, whatever it is, the pit you're in, whatever that looks like, what if that's still you because you're still making excuses because of what you did and what you went through yesterday? You're not stepping into the plan that God has for you today. Man, what about you? Man, are you ready for things in this world to be better? Are you ready for things in your life to change? Are you ready for things in your family to change? Are you ready for your community to be better? Man, Gideon, he was in the lowest spot of his life, but yet the Lord still called him. Man, God is wanting to use you. Man, he's wanting to use you right where you're at today. He says, I'm with you, man. I'm with you, mighty warrior. I am with you. Quit thinking about what you don't have and remember, I'm with you. Man, God has promised you peace through his son, Jesus Christ. He's also promised you that you'll never die, that no matter what the world throws at you, no matter what you go through in this world, that you are eternal because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's only one thing that you have to do this morning. You just have to quit making an excuse to accept that promise. That's all you have to do. Quit trying to test God, quit trying to look for a sign, and just say, you know what? Out of faith, not by sight, out of faith, man, out of faith, I'm going to allow God to use my hands for war and my fingers for battle. that I'm going to stand on the rock of my salvation, Jesus Christ, that nothing's going to come against me, that nothing's going to come against my family. Because of why? Because God told me that. Because God declared that over my life. Because I can look back and I can see that the battle was won through Gideon, through a man who didn't think he could, but understood because of God that he could, that he can. Man, I'm telling you, everything that you have and everything that you need is right there. You just got to quit making excuses not to accept it. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning, if you walked in here this morning with all kinds of excuses of why God can't use you, I'm here standing on the truth, standing on the word, standing on the promises of God, saying, you know what? God declared it over your life that you can. There is no excuse. There is no excuse this morning that you can't be a mighty warrior. There is no excuse that God doesn't want to use you. There is no excuse that you can't step into the fight and change a nation. What if God's waiting on you to quit making excuses for our nation to be changed? What if it's up to you? What if you're the one that's going to change the future for our children? Because of your obedience, because of just simply your faith and stepping out and believing God's promises over your life. What if you're the one that God's waiting on to quit making excuses? Man, if you came in here today and you're like, I don't even know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't even understand the whole thing, but man, I'm ready to quit making excuses to proclaim him as my Lord and Savior. Man, all you have to do, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart, proclaim with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you too will be saved. You too will not die. You too will live in peace. Man, if that's you this morning, just simply slip your hand up. Man, I don't know you, and I know that I'm just here filling in today for Cody. Amen. Amen. But God has a plan and a purpose, and he's wanting to use you in that plan. So let me pray. Let me seal this with a prayer. And then let's worship. Let's worship like the kind of people that aren't just professing Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we're following. We're living. We're walking this out without excuses. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you have given everything that we need. That you have a plan and a purpose over our life, that you have a plan and a purpose over our family, that you have called us not to go get strength from something off of this world, but that you said, you know what, just go in the strength we have because you're with us. Father, we are declaring that today, that you're with us, that your Holy Spirit lives inside of us, that everything we have, you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Man, that we don't have to live in a world with excuses, that we don't have to sit back, that you've called us to be a mighty warrior, a mighty warrior. Believe, and we are just thanking you this morning that everything that your Son did for us on the cross, that it is yea and amen in his name, that we can live without excuse in this world. Father, I ask that you seal this word in our hearts. I ask that you seal this word in our minds, and I ask you that you continue to remind us to live without excuses because of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. Stand on your feet this morning and let's worship like we're a people without excuses. Take the broken thing.
sing this out right here. When I lift my voice.
So when I lift my voice and shout, every world comes crashing down. I have the authority. Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I ask given me.
Let's lift up a shout of praise.
Thank you. Hey, will y'all give it up for Riley, please? Thank you, Riley. Y'all can be seated for just a moment. We're so blessed to have Riley come back and share with us. He and Stephanie have done great things at Bethel Stanford, so we do appreciate him coming. Hey, just a couple of announcements. If you're a first or second time visitor, there's a QR code to scan. We would love to reach out and connect with you in a seat. Drop it off at the Welcome Center as well. We will be having church this Wednesday night at 6:30, so be sure and come back Wednesday night. And if you haven't downloaded the new Bethel app, please do so. There's a QR code here, but we've also placed a paper copy at the Welcome Center. It's a little easier to get to, and then one, if you walk out the door on the left, there's a table if you want to scan that and go through that and set that up. There's a lot of great information on the Bethel app. So, kiddos, if you would, please come forward and get some candy. Riley has eaten his way through the candy basket this morning. He says our candy's really good.